Parashas Chukas. The first pasuk in Perek Chof. The Torah tells us, "Vatomos Shom Miriam Vatikover Shom," and Miriam died and she got buried. "V'lo yehoyo mayim lo edom," following which there was no water for Klal Yisrael, and they complained, and we know how the story continued. So Rashi points out, and this is quoting a Chazal, that there is a juxtapositioning of the very first parasha in Parashas Chukas, which deals obviously with Pora Aduma, and the parasha of the death of Miriam. So Rashi says, and he's quoting the Gemara in Moyes Cotton, "Lomo Nismacha Parasha Misas Miriam the Parashas Pora Aduma." Why indeed are the two juxtapositioned? What is the relationship, what's the connection between Pora Aduma and the death of Miriam Hanaviyah? So he says, to tell you that just like Korbonos atone, they are Mechaper, so too the Misa of Tzadikim are also Mechaper. That's the connection. So if you want to know why the two parashas written back to back, because Pora Aduma, which is a type of korban, is mechaper, so too when a tzaddik passes away, that is also a kapor. So we'll discuss this. So now, there are a number of points that we need to discuss, but just by the by, very interesting mekudah that I saw. There's a sefer called Toldos Yitzchak. The Toldos Yitzchak was written by the son of the Beis Yosef, if I'm not mistaken. And he writes a very fascinating observation. He says, we do not find, following Miriam's Petira, we do not find the same reaction amongst Klal Yisrael as we do following Aaron HaKohen, following Moshe Rabbeinu's Petira. It says there, they all cried, and Hespedim, and Avelos. Here you have one of the leaders of Klal Yisrael, Miriam Hanaviyah. She passes away. We don't find there was a period of mourning. Nobody shed a tear. So he writes, fascinatingly, because they didn't indeed shed a tear, in other words, no water ran, that's why there was all of a sudden a shortage of water immediately after her death. Midah keneged midah. The simple pshat is, Chazal tell us that it was in her merit that they had the be'er in the first place. So once she passed away, there was no zechus. But the way he explains it, no, because they didn't cry, there was no water, there were no tears shed, so midah keneged midah, there was no water to be drunk. But either way, back to our story with regard to the Pora Aduma. So the obvious question that needs to be explained, needs to be answered, is firstly, what indeed is the comparison, the chlal, to Pora Aduma? Just like Pora Aduma is mechaper, so too the Misa of Tzadikim is also mechaper. What exactly is the comparison? And furthermore, Pora Aduma is actually not really a korban. We call it a korban. The Torah calls it a korban. The Torah calls it a chatos. It's not sacrificed on the Mizbeach. In fact, it got nowhere near the Mizbeach. Where was it taken? Chutz l'machane. It was burnt there completely, and that's its avodah, so it's actually not a korban at all. So why isn't this lesson taught to us, for example, in the parasha of Oila or Chatos or Oshon? Wouldn't that be more of a fair comparison? Oila and Chatos and Oshon, those are korbanos and they are mechaper. So too the Misa of Tzadikim is also mechaper. So of all the korbanos you could have chosen, why did the Torah choose Pora Aduma, which is in fact the least korban-like? So interestingly enough, the Trumas HaDeshen, as quoted by the Maharal, says, no, he says, that's precisely the point. Pora Aduma is not a korban, and it's still mechaper. So too, the Misa of Tzadikim is also not a korban as such, and nonetheless it's mechaper. So Hagufa, the comparison is precisely because it's not a korban. But nonetheless, we'll see, Be'ez Hashem, different ways of understanding the exact comparison to korbanos generally and Pora Aduma specifically. In the sefer we mentioned before, Toldos Yitzchak, he writes as follows. He says, when a tzaddik passes away, of course, that is a tremendous tragedy. And therefore, the reaction should be one in accordance with the understanding that indeed it is a tragic occurrence when a tzaddik dies. If somebody couldn't care one way or another that a tzaddik dies, what is he in fact saying? Makes no difference to me. I didn't need him in his lifetime, I don't miss him in his death. I can manage perfectly well without the tzaddik. Without the proper understanding that actually, no, you cannot manage without the tzaddik. Without the inspiration of the tzaddik, without the guidance, without the teaching, without the lessons, the example, no, you cannot manage without the tzaddik. But the one who says that I don't need to be misabel, I don't need to mourn the tzaddik, he shows a total attitude of gaiva. I can manage perfectly well, who needs the tzaddik? I can manage, I'm mature enough to manage on my own. The correct reaction is the exact opposite, one of utmost humility. That I realize that I cannot manage without a tzaddik, how small I am compared to the tzaddik, and how difficult things will be now that he's no longer with us. That's the correct reaction. So he says, that therefore is the perfect comparison to Parah Aduma. Because what do you do with a Parah Aduma? It's burnt and becomes nothing. Reduced to ash, there's nothing left. That is the ultimate lesson in humility. And that therefore is the comparison between the two. The reaction to Misa of Tzadikin should be what? Make yourself into a Parah Aduma. Precisely Parah Aduma. That's the way he explains. Not other Korbanis. Even the oila, for example, which goes on the Mizbeach, but it's not completely burnt. There's some things that don't go on the Mizbeach. It's not eaten, that's true. But the Parah Aduma is completely burnt. The Sarach is completely burnt. There's nothing left. That's the ultimate sign of humility. That is the correct reaction to the tragic passing of a tzaddik. An attitude of humility, how small we are, how great they were, and how much we miss them. That's his comparison to the Inyan of the Parah Aduma. The Maharal in the Gur Aryeh explains in a different way, and Kedarkei BaKodesh is very profound, and I had to read it at least 10 times to try and begin to understand what he means, but at least let's try and attempt to scratch the surface of his very profound explanation. He says as follows: a person commits an avera, he needs a kapara. That we all understand. The kapara comes about by removing the source and the cause of the avera in the first place. That's the kapara. What indeed is the source? What indeed is the cause of the chait? The guf. The physicality of the person. The person wouldn't be a physical entity, he wouldn't sin. Malochim are spiritual, they don't sin. The guf is the shayrish, is the root of all evil, the root of all avers. And therefore the kapara is always brought about by removing, as it were, the guf. And that's why he says, death, misa, generally is a kapara. Because what is misa, if not the removal of the guf? And that's why the Misa is always acts of an atonement, because that is removing the source of the problem. Imagine you had a terrible leak in your home. There's water cascading all over the show, and you call in the best plumber in the city, and he says, yes, I can solve your problem. Wonderful. So he brings in the sponger stick, and he sponges out all the water. There, I've solved the problem. You haven't solved the problem, you've just removed the mess, you haven't solved the problem. To solve the problem is to go crawling around in the pipes and to find out where it's broken and to seal the crack. Then you've solved the problem. That's what the Maharal is saying. In order to bring about a true kapara, you have to trace the avera to its source. And the source is the guf. Remove the guf, and then the kapara is brought about. So he says, again, in a very, very deep way, the tzaddik is, as it were, the ultimate guf. He's not just another, any old person. This is a super guf, as it were. Therefore, we understand when his guf is removed, that brings about a super kapara. That's why the mitzvah of tzaddikim is mechaper. The removal of guf in any which way is a kapara. But the removal of a guf, of a statue of a tzaddik, brings about a greater kapara. That's the way he explains. And the Maral says, now we understand the comparison to Porah Aduma. Because what in fact did you do to the Porah Aduma? You removed its guf. That's exactly what you did. So now we understand what Chazal mean. Just like the Porah Aduma where you removed the guf. How did you remove the guf? You burnt it until there was literally nothing left. And that brings about a kapara. Why? As we said before, because the guf is the source and the root and the shayrish of the Avera. You remove the guf, there's a kapara. And that's why Chazal are comparing the two and they're telling you, just like Porah Aduma is mechaper, how so? By removing the guf. So too Misa generally, but Tzaddikim specifically, when their guf is removed, that brings about a kapara. Says the Maral in conclusion that there's one other comparison that we find. Chazal tell us, this is the Yerushalmi in the beginning of Yuma, and they say, just like Yom Kippur serves as an atonement, so too the death of Tzaddikim serves as an atonement as well. In other words, there's not only a comparison between Porah Aduma and the death of Tzaddikim, but also Yom Kippur. Says the Maral, we understand very well. What's Yom Kippur all about? Removing of the guf. That's what it's all about. There's no eating, there's no drinking, we don't indulge in our guf in any which way. So Yom Kippur, to an extent, is a type of misa. That's what you're doing, you're taking the guf out of the picture, and that's why it brings about a kapara. So the Maral therefore says, we understand very well how Chazal explain and they compare. The death of Tzaddikim brings about a kapara, because you're removing the guf. That's exactly what's happening in Porah Aduma, and that's exactly what's happening also in Yom Kippur. That's our second approach. The Ksav Sefer offers an alternative, fascinating explanation as well. When Tzaddikim passed away, as we mentioned, it brings about a kapara, undoubtedly. Who does it bring about a kapara for? Obviously, for those people who committed averus. In other words, to those who never really attached themselves to the tzaddikim in their lifetime. Didn't learn the lessons of the tzaddik, were over averus, and they indeed need a kapara. So for them, as it were, when the tzaddik passes away, that's very beneficial to them. To the rishoyim, the death of the tzaddik is very, very beneficial, because that will bring about a kapara. But what about the tzaddikim? The tzaddikim who did attach themselves to the great tzaddikim. When that tzaddik passes away, that's not beneficial. They've lost their whole life source. So if we're to be asked the question, when tzaddikim passed away, is that beneficial or not beneficial? The answer is, almost paradoxically, to the rishayim, it's beneficial. To the tzaddikim, it's detrimental. What does that remind us of? Porah Aduma. What does the Porah Aduma do? It's metaher the tmeim, and it's metame tohirim. That's exactly what Porah Aduma does. To those who need a kapora, it'll be metaher them. But to those who are already toher, it'll be metame them. That's the Ksav Sefer's genius comparison. He says, that's why we compare the two. Those who were, as it were, matame their own nefesh, how so? By disregarding the tzaddik in his lifetime, then the death of the tzaddik will bring about a tahara for them. But those who are matayer themselves, now, as it were, become tommy, because they now no longer have a life source. That, he says, is a comparison between Porah Aduma and Misa Tzaddikim. The final approach that we will share tonight is the one of the Meshech Chochmah, the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach says, very simply, the comparison between the two is because Porah Aduma is metahir a person when he becomes Tommy, the death of tzaddikim arouses one to do tshuva, and that will also bring about tahara and a kapara, in the simplest way. Says the Yerushalmeach, what about the comparison that we mentioned before to Yom Kippur? We said that the death of tzaddikim is compared not only to Parah Adumah, but it's compared also to Yom Kippur. So the Maral explained for us, because Yom Kippur you remove the guf, just like Parah Adumah, that's what death is as well. But listen to the way the Yerushalmeach says, and this is a very, very important lesson. The Yerushalmeach says, the Meshech Chochma, in Parashat Achrei Moed, says, Yom Kippur acts as an atonement, that's true, but there's one condition, and that is that you are mechabed Yom Kippur. If somebody says, I will completely disregard Yom Kippur, I won't fast, I'll do malacha, I couldn't care one way or another, then Yom Kippur cannot act as an atonement thing. As he writes, Yom Kippur has to be mikro'i kodesh. If you don't treat it as kodesh, then indeed it's not kodesh, and it won't act as a kapara for you. Says the Yerushalmeach, the same thing as with tzaddikim. If you mechabed the tzaddik, and you value the tzaddik, then indeed he can help you out. When he eventually passes away, it will serve as an atonement for you. Avol b'mevayit b'liboy. If somebody rejects and despises the tzaddik, that's like despising Yom Kippur. It's not a free lunch. Yom Kippur will serve as an atonement in as much as the fact that you relate and you're mechabed Yom Kippur. You're not mechabed Yom Kippur, it doesn't serve as an atonement. You're not mechabed the tzaddik, then don't come crying and expect the tzaddik to serve as an atonement for you either. That's the comparison between Yom Kippur and the death of tzaddikim. It's very fascinating. Somebody just showed me, Mamash yesterday. Yesterday he said, I want to show you an interesting Pnei Yeshua. And I met him today, I said, Shkoyach, I'm going to mention it in the Shir tonight, because it follows on exactly what we're saying tonight. The Gemara in Ksuba says, something which is negeh to all of us, Baruch Hashem. The Gemara in Ksuba says, anybody who lives in Eretz Yitzchol, Shorui Beloi Ovoin, doesn't have Avayus. We all live in Eretz Yitzchol. What does it mean, Shor B'le'ov? It means you'll be Zeicha to a Kapara. That's what the Gemara says, the tremendous privilege, the Zechus of living in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Pnei Yeshua, undoubtedly, he says, that's only if you're living in Eretz Yisrael because you recognize the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And you machshiv, you value Eretz Yisrael. Then indeed, Eretz Yisrael will be a Kapara for you. But he says, Yom Kippur and Eretz Yisrael is the same. It's mamash like Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael mechaper, he says, loy odif mi Yom Kippur. It's no different to Yom Kippur. And he says the principle of the Eretz Yisrael, 200 years before the Eretz Yisrael. He says, it's true that Yom Kippur is mechaper, but only if you respect the Yom Kippur. Once if somebody says, I'll be over all the Averas in the book, I couldn't care less, and don't worry, Yom Kippur will take care of me. Then indeed it won't. It's mechabed Yom Kippur. So too he says, if somebody comes to Eretz Yisrael because he enjoys the fruit, and because it's a happy life over here, but not because he's mechabed the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, then the comparison between Yom Kippur and Eretz Yisrael falls short. You're mechabed Yom Kippur, it's an atonement. You're mechabed Eretz Yisrael, it can be an atonement as well. And that's the yesod of the Yerushalmeach. And that's why we're comparing so to the kapara that's brought about through the demise of tzaddikim. If somebody is mechabed the tzaddik, then indeed it will be a kapara. He's not mechabed the tzaddik, sorry, then the tzaddik can't help you. And this reminds us very much of something that we once discussed not so long ago, and that is, we know that there is a huge discussion why indeed did the sons of Aaron HaKohen pass away. 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, I think there's a medrash that mentions 15 reasons. Now if it mentions 15 different reasons, then the one thing that's clear is that it's not clear. Obviously we're talking about an Aveira which is so fine, so delicate, that it's very, very unclear what the Aveira is. If everybody proposes different opinions. And Chazal say that some say it's because they drank wine before they entered the Beis HaMikdash. And some say it's because they weren't married. And some say because they didn't wash their hands before doing the avodah, and some say because they weren't wearing the correct begodim, and all different opinions. One opinion says because they paskened the halacha in front of their rebbe, and who was their rebbe? Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ben Yehoyada, the Ben Yishai in Erevin says, I don't understand the whole discussion. The Torah says quite clearly why they died. The Torah says because they were Makrib and Eish Zorah, however we are to understand that. So what's this whole discussion? Is it because of the Eish, or is it because of the Begodim? Is it because they weren't married, or because of that? 7 or 8, 9, 10 different reasons. The Torah seems to say fairly clearly what the reason was. Says the Ben Yehoyada, phenomenal lesson. The discussion over here is not why they died. That's not the discussion. We know why they died. Why did they die? Because they committed an avera. The discussion is not why, how. How indeed did they end up being over an avera? They had Moshe Rabbeinu as a rebbe. Why didn't the zechus of Moshe Rabbeinu stand them in good stead? And then indeed they wouldn't have been over an avera in the first place. Or had they done so, at least they would have been zecher to a kapara in the zechus of the tzaddik. Oh, because they paskened the halacha in front of their rebbe. So they showed, of course, on their very lofty madriga, they displayed a certain element, a certain lack of respect towards Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, then Moshe Rabbeinu's zechus can't anymore protect you. And that's the yisod of the Mitzvah. If you want the tzaddik to act as a kapara, if you want the tzaddik to be able to help you in any which way, it's contingent on your relationship towards the tzaddik, and then his relationship towards you can be beneficial as well. But indeed, if you pasken aloch in front of your rebbe, thereby showing a lack of respect to the tzaddik, therefore the question is not which avera did they do, why did they die? The question is, how did they end up doing the avera? Or if they did do the avera, why weren't they zecher to a kapara? And Moshe Rabbeinu was a leader. The answer is yes indeed, but they didn't show the full respect to the leader. And that's what the Aris HaMeach is saying. It's just like Yom Kippur. You mechabed Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur can help you. You mechabed Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael can help you. Mechabed Moshe Rabbeinu, then Moshe Rabbeinu can help you. If not, then it can't help you. We'll just conclude with a story. I think we've mentioned it on previous occasions, but even if we have, it's worth repeating. The story is told, very tragic, a very powerful story, of the person who comes to his Rav and he says, you have to help me. I have a teenage son who I've noticed a little bit weak in his ruchnius. He's not learning as much as he used to. His Shabbos observance seems to be weak. Maybe you could talk to him, be mechazek him, inspire him in some way. The Rav says, I'm not sure if I have time. What do you mean? That's your job as a Rav. You have to be mechazek people. All right, fine, send him in. He sends in his son. The son comes to speak to the Rav. The Rav gives him a whole drasha for an hour, tries to mechazek him in whatever way he can. He gets a phone call again from the father, and he says, listen, I don't know what you told my son, but one thing I can tell you, it didn't help at all. He's only got from bad to worse, he's not keeping Shabbos at all, doesn't put on tefillin, doesn't keep kashrus, vanished! And he said, to be honest with you, I'm rather upset. You're the Rav. You're supposed to mechazek him. Couldn't you find words of inspiration, of guidance, of leadership, of help, of sympathy, something? Why couldn't you help him? So the Rav said to him, he says, if you'll recall, when I initially was asked to speak to your son, do you remember I wasn't very keen? Remember I tried to shirk out of it? He says, yeah, I do remember actually. Yeah, I do. I do remember. In fact, I didn't understand why that was the case. Why indeed did you not want to take responsibility? He says, I'll tell you why. Because I know full well in what type of home your son has been brought up. I know the type of chinuch that your son has received. He's been brought up in an atmosphere of zero respect towards Rabbonim. Whatever the Rav says, say that he's just ranting and raving, you can ignore him, he's just letting off a bit of steam, we don't have to respect, he tells us what to do, we're mature enough as well, we don't need his leadership. And if your son was brought up in that atmosphere, that whatever Rabbonim say is being just a source of ridicule and derision, then how in the world did you expect your son to come to me and to listen to the words of inspiration, to chlal, be inspired by what I have to say? Therefore, quite frankly, I didn't want to speak to him. It's a waste of time. I knew it'd be a waste of time. You pressured me into talking to him and say that I spoke to him, but sorry, I have nothing to help. If he didn't relate to me, if he wasn't interested in my words of guidance, you only have yourself to blame. The tzaddik can't help unless you misyachis, unless you mechabit the tzaddik. Somebody who's brought up from an early age that we have zero respect towards the Rav and the tzaddik, then indeed, I'm sorry, he can't help you. And that's what the Meshech Chochma and that's what the Ben Yoyada are teaching us. Therefore, in summary, I think you'll notice we've mentioned five different approaches in what is the comparison between Pora Aduma and the death of tzaddikim. The first was the tale of Yitzchok, precisely because Pora Aduma is not a korban, it brings about a kapora. So too the Misa of tzaddikim is not a korban, it brings about a kapora. That was, sorry, the Trumas Adeshem. The tale of Yitzchok explains approach number two, because the reaction, the attitude upon the passing of a tzaddik should be one of ultimate humility, just like the poor Aduma is reduced to ash and to nothing, that is the lesson in humility. The third approach was that of the Maharal, that Misa is the removal of the guf and the cause of the chait, and that's why it brings about a kapara, and that's the Misa of tzaddikim, and that's a comparison to poor Aduma, which is removing the guf and also Yom Kippur. Fourthly, we mentioned the Ksav Sefer, who says that the death of the tzaddik is in a way beneficial to the Rishayim and detrimental to the tzaddikim. Metaher es atmeim, metameh es atahirim, just like Pora Aduma. And finally, the Meshech Chochma, who says that the death of tzaddikim brings about a kapora and a tahara, because the person is chayzeh v'tshuva, and that's the whole principle of kapora of Pora Aduma, which also brings about a tahara. He just added in conclusion that the comparison, however, to Yom Kippur is the Yom Kippur can only act as an atonement if you respect and you mechabed the Yom Kippur, so too the tzaddikim. And that's what the Ben Yoyada is teaching us as well. The Bnei Aaron and their very high madriga showed us some small level of disrespect to Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore the tzaddik couldn't help, couldn't act as a kapora and as a zechus for them.